Please stand as you're able. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we acknowledge the immensity of our guilt. We can offer you nothing to remove these sins. We are unworthy of all your grace, yet in your grace we have confidence. Through the life and death of Jesus Christ, we cry out to you in full assurance of faith. God has had mercy on you and me and on the entire world. Jesus' holiness is ours by faith. His death was the punishment for all sin. In Christ, you are a forgiven child of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Take and drink. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. You may be seated. Take and eat is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus. We continue with the rite of nails and cross. The cross is a confusion for us. The cross is a paradox which we do not understand. We see the weakness of a dying man on the cross. We see the life of Jesus draining out of him on the cross. We see a servant on the cross. There is mystery in the cross. The cross is a confusion for us. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless your saving name. Those who are who would wish to can come now. Place a nail in the cross. Can come up through the mid aisle and return through the outside aisles. As you place the cross, you'll hear the words pierced for you. Pierced for you. Pierced for you. Pierced for you. Thank you. We continue with our readings and our hymns for today in this hymn service. The first section we'll look at is from Isaiah 53. We'll read this responsively. We'll first have a short devotion on it. We look at Isaiah. It's a magnificent book that is so filled with gospel. In the Old Testament, there's very few places that have so much gospel. This section of Isaiah 53, as we just read about the confusion of the cross, this section of Isaiah is often skipped over by Jewish scholars, by the Jewish religion, because it's a huge confusion. The Messiah was supposed to be this conquering king, this one who was supposed to bring in an army and kick out the foreign rulers and bring back this earthly rule. That's what they heard, and there were prophecies about this great king, but also that he would be what we see in 53, a suffering servant. And how do those two things go together? How can there be a king, one who is so great and mighty, but then one who is going to suffer so greatly? Those things don't make sense unless you see Jesus. Unless you see Jesus riding in on a donkey with praises of Hosanna in the highest. He's the Son of David, but then just a few days later is put on the cross. And the cross is that confusion. The cross is where we see him win the victory, but as a suffering servant. One of my favorite things we would do in China as we were teaching people about the Bible, about the gospel, is I'd take this section and I'd take away all of the markings of Isaiah or the chapter numbers, kind of how it is here. And then I'd ask people, where is this found? Is it when you read this, it's one of the clearest and best pictures of what happens to Jesus on the cross, but written hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus came and lived and died. But we see this perfect picture of what Jesus does, taking on our sins. We're going to read, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We like sheep, we've gone astray, each of us has turned his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What great peace and message to see that our sins were put on Christ and to see what he gives us. That great exchange where we put all our sin on him and he gives us peace and forgiveness. And this was prophesied and spoken about so clearly hundreds and hundreds of years before he lived and died. What an amazing God we have. And what an amazing Savior we have. Let's read responsively about our suffering servant in Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before her shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Continue with the hymn. We just spoke the words, stricken, smitten, and afflicted. We'll sing hymn 430. We pray. God most holy, look with mercy on this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed, be given over into the hands of the wicked, and suffer death upon the cross. Keep us always faithful to him, our only Savior, who now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. The next words we'll look at, our next meditation and song, we focus on the words from John 19, where Jesus says, "It is finished." When you look at this world and celebrities, or just every one of us, it's always good to think about what you're striving for. Who do you want to be? What do you want to become? When is it finished? Two of the most interesting quotes on this come to some of the most famous, most successful people in their areas. Tom Brady, after he had won several Super Bowls and he was married to a supermodel, he was interviewed and he said, There has to be something more than this. He wasn't satisfied, even though it seemed like he had everything. And if you see him still today, he's won more Super Bowls than anyone, and he's still striving. He has to show that he's now the best broadcaster around. It's just striving and striving to do more. Or the other famous quote on this is from Madonna, who after kind of the peak of all her number one hits, she was interviewed and asked, "What drives you?" And she says, I feel like I need to be somebody." She's already one of the most famous celebrities, one of the most successful musicians ever, but every morning she wakes up and she doesn't feel like she is someone. And so she has to strive and strive and strive. And what does that create in someone? Well, you can see what that does in celebrities. But what about us? Do we strive and strive to be something, to be more, to be something before God, to be something in front of others? But we know that all falls short. We know that as soon as you accomplish one thing, as soon as you do that great thing, well, that's great, you achieved it, but now what? What's next? And there's that letdown almost of achievement. I've achieved this, and now what? And so if we make it all about us and our achievements and what we do, we're never going to be satisfied. And so it goes with our good works and striving before God. We have to see that we have to put it all in God's hands, in the hands of our Lord, who says it is finished. The work of our salvation is done. Your identity is one of a redeemed child of God. You are forgiven. And yes, you can work hard and you can be faithful. God has given you talents and gifts. But stop striving to be someone and having to prove who you are. Because you're redeemed, you're forgiven, and you are never going to make your way up in the way that the world thinks they can. This doesn't mean to not be faithful. This doesn't mean we can't use God's gifts. But when it comes to our righteousness, it is truly finished. That God did the work for you and me by sending Jesus to be the Savior, and He lived perfectly for you. Every minute, every hour, as he became man and submitted himself under the law and then suffered the most humiliating death on a cross. But as he's there, he says the words, the one word in Greek, tetelestai, the beautiful word that gives us so much hope and so much forgiveness. It is finished. Your sins forgiven. Amen. We'll continue with a solo sung by Stephanie Beyer, It Is Done. We look at the cross, the wondrous cross, we see that we view things in a different way than the rest of the world. The world looks at Christ and Christianity and they kind of mock us. It's the same thing that people did to Jesus when he was on the cross. You're the Son of Man, come down! You could save others, can't you save yourself? We think of Jesus and his mighty power, and people think this is the stumbling block that so many people have. Is how could the God, the creator of all, our this amazing man, how could he die on the cross? Well, either he wasn't true God, or he's not that special. If he could die. And so people get confused. Other religions really struggle with this concept. And then other people really like to just completely skip over the meaning of Good Friday and the cross. When they look at Christianity, they really look at just all the laws and the people, and they'll point out how we're hypocrites. We don't do all the things that we say we do. We fall short, and this is true. But what is Christianity all about? But Christ and his great love for us on the cross. And this is what we want to portray over and over again. I heard this recently, and I was asked this question actually yesterday, and I should have given a better answer. I didn't give an answer, but they asked what my favorite holiday was, and I heard another pastor say, Good Friday. And I thought that was a great answer, because his answer said, it's the only religion that can't really be corrupted by the world. If you look at Christmas, if you look at Easter, the confusion of the Easter Bunny, the confusion of Christmas and Santa Claus. But the world is not hijacking Good Friday because it's about the sacrifice that God had for you and for me and for the whole world. And maybe it's that we should push Good Friday out to the world more and more so that they can understand what Christianity is all about. Christianity is not about us being as perfect as we can or trying to get as many people to be as righteous as they can. Yes, we don't want people to fall into sin, but Christianity is about showing this truth about Jesus, that one died for all, that he gave himself up for us, he sacrificed himself. That Christianity is about sacrifice, denying ourselves, denying what we think and what we want to understand what Jesus is and not what the world says, but most of all about the sacrifice of Jesus. And we read these words from 2 Corinthians and we see the end of it, because this is what we are all about, that it's just this plea that Jesus is not a myth. He's not the Easter Bunny. He's not Santa Claus, but he's someone who came in reality and really suffered and really died. And the facts are true, that he died for the sins of the world. It says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against us. But then what does Jesus, what is the imploring at the end? We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's a plea. It's this good news that we go out and saying, it's true that Jesus died. Believe it. Because it's for you. And regardless if you believe it or not, God does love you and he wants you to know this truth. This is what we go out with, Christ's wondrous love, and why we celebrate this wondrous cross. We read from 2 Corinthians 5. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And in that last verse, you see that it's not about being righteous, but being given that righteousness from Christ. We sing our next hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, hymn 407. Thank you. Let us pray for the whole church, that our gracious Father would defend her from the devil and keep her faithful to our Lord. Almighty and everlasting God, you have revealed your saving name to the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Protect us from assaults of the evil one and help us remain faithful to your word, so that in every adversity we may stand firm in our faith and give ourselves fully to our Savior's work, through Christ our Lord. Let us pray for those who serve in the public ministry and for all people of God. Almighty and everlasting God, you rule over all things for the good of your people. Preserve us from divisive spirits and false teachers. Give your servants the grace to proclaim Christ joyfully in word and deed, so that all who hear them may come to know their Savior better and to be strengthened for their lives of service through Christ our Lord. Let us pray for those who are being instructed in the word, that they remain firm in the simple faith of baptism. Almighty and everlasting God, you make us your own dear children by the washing of rebirth and renewal in the Holy Spirit. Give us strength to all who are buried with Christ in baptism, that each day they may die to sin and rise again to live a new and holy life. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for our earthly government, our rulers, and all who are in authority. Almighty and everlasting God, you have established earthly government to keep a measure of order in this dying world. Protect us from the disorder of sin. Give to all rulers the wisdom to govern well and to all citizens the desire to obey them so that we may live peaceful lives in all godliness and holiness through Christ our Lord. Let us pray that our gracious Father would protect us and our communities from the many earthly calamities that threaten us. Almighty and everlasting God, on all sides we are surrounded by danger from wars and famine, from disease and pestilence, with the devil begrudging us every minute of our lives. Protect us from all these miseries so that your name may still be glorified in them and so that we may safely pass through them to your heavenly kingdom, through Christ our Lord. Let us pray for those who are outside the church that they may come to know the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Almighty and everlasting God, your Son was lifted up on the cross so that he might draw all people to himself through the proclamation of your word. Mercifully gather from the nations a people that are your very own, that we may join together around your throne in glory to praise and thank you forever through Christ our Lord. Let us pray for our enemies and for all those who hate us. Almighty and everlasting God, no one can harm us without grieving you whose name we bear. We ask that you would change the hearts of those who work against us and who hate us without reason. Give them repentance and life so that they may be glad with us and find joy in your love through Christ our Lord. Let us pray for all who suffer under cross and trial. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son into the world to bear our grief and to carry our sorrows. Help those who are suffering for your name's sake and who are struggling against temptation so that they may not be overwhelmed with sadness, but find relief in your grace through Christ our Lord. Finally, let us pray all for all those things for which our Lord would have us ask in the words he himself has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. We read the death of Jesus. That was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath. They asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so that Scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. They will look at the one they have pierced. The words of the last reading we had. As we look at the cross, we look at the cross that we have now place nails in, and as we look at the cross here on Good Friday, we look at the cross for two main reasons. As we heard earlier, that our sins put him there, but he was pierced for us. That because of our sins, he went to the cross. And so on Good Friday, there is sorrow for what Christ had to suffer for us, for the world. But that's not the whole meaning of Good Friday. If we only end there, that we put Jesus on the cross, well, there is no hope. There's no joy. There's really no hope for Easter. There's just sadness and we get depressed because of what we've done and what happened to Christ. But when we look at what Christ's righteous act means, it's not just that our sins put him there, but that he then brings us justification and life. Just as if we had not sinned, we are declared not guilty. Our sins are separated from God. From the east to the west, those sins that were red and scarlet, we will see, will be turned white as snow. And so as we look to the cross, we look and we confess, we repent of our sin, but we also cling to God because this is where God's justice and mercy meet. That because of the cross, we have grace and life. So again, we relish in Good Friday. It truly is not just a sad Friday where Jesus dies, but a Good Friday because he has died for you and for me. And so we wonder and we look, but we look with peace receiving grace and forgiveness. Death no longer reigns. We will see this as we enter again into this worship space to see what this death really means, but life for Christ and life for you and I. That all our righteous acts do not stack up to this one righteous act by Christ that gives us life eternal. So we look to the cross with repentance, but also receiving forgiveness, grace, salvation, and life eternal. We read from Romans chapter 5. For if the trespasses of the many, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. The word of our God. We'll close with a solo of Were You There?
Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? The tomb.